Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Macko and Cause pop.
Oh, good start, Matt.
You know what? I'm going to leave that
leave
in.
Leave it.
I'm leaving that
leave
in.
It. You've done like 140 without fucking it up, so.
And the whole day I'm like, Makeyev, Ilya Makeyev. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to say his name correctly, and I just mispronounced podcast. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Matt. You know what? You're just out of preseason.
Yeah.
You just want to get started, get some of the nerves out.
Yeah.
Settle in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got two new lines, three new defensive pairings. There's a lot of changes going on here. And, you know, so it takes a while to shake the rust off. I just let Connor Brown score. That was that podcast.
And
score.
Ron Hainsey.
Yeah.
Although it was called back, but...
We'll get to that.
We'll get to
that. I'm torn on that.
Okay, good. So let me throw, actually, my Leafs in six words right now, and then we can just dive right into it.
Sure.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sloppy.
Yep.
Magnificent.
Yep.
Frustrating. Welcome back.
That works.
Leafs in six words.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than come up with one sort of snarky slash clever bit of wordplay, I thought, you know what? F it.
Yeah.
It was a contradictory kind of night. All those things are true.
Yep. Mine, a little more positive.
Okay.
Outworked, which is one word. I checked.
Hyphenated?
No, just one word. I don't even get the red squiggly on Microsoft.
No, eh?
No. Okay. So outworked and out-talented the Senators.
Right.
That's my Leafs in six.
You think they outworked the Senators?
That Freddie Gauthier and Trevor Moore goals, those first two.
Okay, well, let's get into this. Okay, first of all, Leafs are back. They win 5-3.
Yeah.
On a perfect pace.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to say it. It's the joke everybody says. They're on a pace for 82 wins. Okay, we got it out of the way. All right. I actually thought they got pushed around quite a bit in the first half of the game.
They did early on. They did early on.
I thought Bobby Ryan was pretty scrappy, did a lot of things. No, I watched Kerfoot get knocked off the puck. I watched Barry get knocked off the puck.
Don't you say anything negative about my boy Tyson Barry.
Actually, I thought he had a very...
Get out of here. He had a good night.
No, I don't think so. He had a great play.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I watched him carefully last night because I was really curious. I really tried to focus on the new guys.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were beatable in one-on-one battles, which, you know, when you're playing the Senators, doesn't matter because they're pretty much an AHL team.
Yeah.
But if they played a good team, I think they would have... It's one game. It's not science until there's at least two.
Yes.
But that's a trend I'm watching is like Tyson Barry's play and... You know, Kerfoot, I like. But anyway, they got knocked off the puck, so I refuse to say they were outworked.
That's where you and I disagree. Maybe okay. I think I was in a more positive space. Watching
Before I showed up?
No, watching the game last night. I think I was in a more of a good mood. It was just good to have it back, and no more contract talk, and no more Matthews, and the captaincy video with John Tavares and his little baby wearing the C. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. The Leafs could do no wrong. Jason Spezza should never play a game, and Mitch Marner was underpaid. You know, like, I watched that video, and then everything turned. I like just, you know, maybe I focused too much on the goals. And you're right, early on, Ottawa did push them around, but I thought...
They got lucky in that first period, because it could have been 2-0, and it could have been 3-0. Just Ottawa is not very offensively talented, but they made some enormous gaffes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first game, and I think they're rusty, and there's a lot of new guys playing together.
There is a lot of new guys, but I looked at the other way. I looked at the special teams. They didn't allow a goal. They were, 1-for-5 on the power play, but they hit a couple posts. They had a completely new third and fourth line, completely new defensive pairings, and just the overwhelming talent was there. You know, the Nylander pass to Matthews, the Marner pass to Matthews, the Matthews to Matthews. You know, just seeing that high, the Tyson Barry little whoop move. There was so much of that.
There's some top-end talent.
Yeah, the top-end talent was there. And, you know, I get wooed by that.
And the bottom six guys, you know, they didn't play a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I noticed, okay, should we just dive into game analysis here?
Sure.
Do you want to go bit by bit?
Sure.
All right, let's start with Tyson Barry, just because
he's
new and he's an important piece of the team moving forward.
Yeah.
Thought the defense in general looked a little scrambly and guys out of position, which, you know, they're new pairings. So I'm not totally surprised by that. But I'm curious to see how Tyson Berry does overall. He reminds me of a bit of Jake Gardner in the sense that the talent is there.
Yeah.
The mistakes are there.
Barry's going to get compared to Gardner all year.
All year long, right?
It's going to happen.
I'm not sure he's as good as Gardner is.
Oh, I think he'll be better.
Like, he'll have to prove that, I think. Because Gardner was really good.
And
when you look at it now that he's playing in Carolina for 4 years at $4 million a copy, that looks like a pretty good deal.
Every deal looks like a pretty good deal compared to Toronto's if you're just doing it by money.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, like, Barry has to prove that he's better than Gardner at 4x4 in order to feel like a win.
You know what? A lot of, like, when I look at the game and like, break it down, what each individual guy does, it's hard to ignore that this was a game where the Leafs had much better possession. This wasn't one of those games where it was the other team always in the Leafs zone, hammering it, making life difficult for Anderson. Yeah, he gave up 3 goals. The first one, the first 26 seconds, that fluky weird one, I put that more maybe on Kapanen. And then the final goal, they're up 5-2 with a minute or two left. It's funny, the last goal, I'm like, I'm already moved on.
All right, so maybe the best thing we can do after one game is just take a second and appreciate it. It was nice to watch hockey again.
Yes.
It was fun on a fall night to turn on the TV. Mm-hmm. Merrick's yapping up there with Berkey and Elliott.
Yep.
You know, Sean McKenzie's doing his thing. It was just nice to watch hockey.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the only thing you can do in the first, say, 5 to 10 games is point out what you're watching for.
Mm-hmm.
And wait to be disproved. Yeah. For example, Tyson Berry, I'm watching to see, is he going to be as good or better than Gardner?
Okay.
Yep. And what I saw last night was a guy who reminded me of Gardner,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily. And I worry a bit about him being knocked off the puck.
Okay.
Is he going to have the guts to get in there?
Yeah. All right. So that's one of the things. For me, it was just seeing Nylander and Matthews.
Weren't they spectacular?
They were great.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah.
How about that pass? That little saucer pass right on the tape?
Yeah.
For the third goal?
Yeah. So that for me was what I was keeping an eye on, because I was keeping, you know, looking at the big picture thing. I mean, you know, Ilya Mikheyev looked really good.
Okay, well, so we don't do scattershot here.
Okay,
because you and I are out of practice talking about a Leafs game.
Yeah.
I came in and I thought, okay, let's try to be organized about this, okay? Okay, so we can put Tyson Berry aside.
Done.
We've talked about him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was obviously the star of the night. Two goals, could have been three, and looked dominant.
Yeah.
He looked like a guy who not only could, but probably would score 50 goals if he stayed healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I thought I think he is going to score 50 goals this year. And it was all there. And it's just, when it's clicking, and also he is the beneficiary of both Nylander and Marner, I don't know how you stop that.
Yeah. You
know,
on the power play?
Yeah, on the power play, just in general, when the passing is going that well and his shot is that good, and he's 22 years old. He is about to enter that 5 to 6 year prime for forwards, where it stays till around 28, 29, then slowly goes down. You probably don't even notice the decrease for the first couple of years. And you saw it there. And the only way you're going to make those saves is when the goalie just makes that incredible save that the EAs at SportsCenter are debating, should this be the play of the day?
Yeah. I think that the decline happens faster, but it doesn't nullify your point. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's his fourth year. Fourth. His fourth year, and he's entering that zone. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this as the Nathan MacKinnon zone, where you're a great player, and then all of a sudden you're a Hart Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
We've always known Matthews was as talented as anybody in the league, except for maybe Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't feel like a genuine Hart contender.
Because he wasn't healthy.
That's the biggest thing,
right?
But it feels like this year he's got a man's body, he's got, you know, the team on his back. He's got that crazy mustache. Looks like D'Artagnan from the Three Musketeers.
It's a horrible mustache.
It's so bad it's good, though. Right? It looks
switched?
Like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it always reminds me when like Brad Pitt or other attractive actors, when they grow giant beards. Mm-hmm. Like, screw it. You're still going to think I'm attractive.
He looks like a guy who has kinky things in his bedroom drawer.
How much longer do we want to talk about a 22-year-old and what's going on sexually and just their general physical aesthetic?
Well, I'm just saying, he's got that John Waters B-movie, slightly sleazy look to him. What was the John Candy character again?
Oh, in An Armed and Dangerous, when he was the... Yeah. How about, you know what? I'll just say this. Mm. A mustache like that screams, they don't get uncomfortable when someone brings up the topic of beads. and I'll leave it at that.
That is absolutely.
How about that?
Hang on. I wish I had the music because that was absolutely perfect. That was really
now
good.
Now we need to move on from that.
Hang on. Before we
speaking
do.
Speaking of zone entries.
Mid-season form.
Yeah. He scored a goal after being sloppy early.
Should have quit while you're ahead. Yeah. But anyway, whatever. I'm really interested to watch the power play this year because talking to people around the team last year, the feeling was that it was so predictable. They did the same thing every time, and teams just knew how to scheme for it. Like
you want me to bring back the beat analogy here, but things getting stale in the bedroom.
Right, and they had to spice it up.
But no, you're right.
Try it on different sides.
Exactly. Matthews did. He was always on the left. Now he's moving on the right side. And, I mean, the analogies are too easy. So, no, you're right. The scheming is different. Having Tyson Barry there changes it up. Yeah, the power play, it looked different. It could have scored more than one goal.
Now, let's not forget last year when it started, we also thought... you know, this was going to be the unstoppable power play. Like,
it's
they'd
true.
Be writing folk songs about it.
Yeah.
And it eventually petered out. But what I'm excited to see is once teams figure out how to play it, how does it change?
Yeah.
The NHL, I don't know that it's as good as other sports at sort of going game by game and adjusting your philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, and I think
so it's month by month.
Right. But in general, like, I don't find that the coaching is innovative or provocative. Like, it's not like you go, oh, we're playing Philadelphia and they're this kind of team, well, let's switch it up this way, let's make roster changes. Like in soccer, you change your lineup all the time based on who you're playing, and in football you scheme differently depending on who you're playing. Basketball, I think you run different kinds of plays, or if you know something's working, you keep going back to it, but it might not be the same thing the next night.
Mm-hmm.
But in hockey, it feels like you get the same team doing the same thing every night, and it never changes. The goal is to perfect it and then hope that the puck bounces your way.
That's
kind of boring.
It is. Yeah, when you put it like that, you're right. And the question with the power play is, it like you said, it will look good in October. It always looks good in October because October is sloppy. And when you've got as much talent...
That's a great point.
When you have as much talent as the Leafs do, you will always be able to exploit sloppy.
That's such a great point. Like, when everybody's playing shit, then the advantage is a little bit more. They haven't really learned to dial it in yet.
But,
that's a great point.
But 2 weeks after Halloween, you know, when everyone cinched it a little bit, you know, then how is your power play going to look?
All right. Well, since we're probably going to talk about the Leafs for most of this pod, I would think.
Oh, no. We got a lot of non-Leafs to get
to
as
well.
Okay.
Well, but let's try to intersperse some of these other things. Because I walked into your place today, and as I was coming up the elevator, I thought, okay, do they do Thanksgiving first in terms of the
motif
of the place, of the condo?
Yeah.
Or do they jump right to Halloween? And that question was answered as soon as I got to the front door.
Yeah.
There was a big pumpkin on the front of it.
Yep.
Your house is already Halloweened up.
It is.
But it's October 3rd.
Yeah, I know. It's October 3rd, so you can see we're not done yet. Amy is not happy.
Not done.
Oh, not even close.
Okay, why don't you do a quick read?
Okay.
And then I'll count all the pieces, and we'll see how not done you are.
Okay. Now, by the way, I don't look at this as a read. I just look at this as speaking from the heart. Our lawyer, his name is Jeff Pollock. He's a sponsor on this show. If you're out there and you need any sort of legal advice, if you need issues with, let's say, your will or litigation, states, trusts, real estate law, anything, our lawyer, Jeff Pollock, he is perfect. He's our lawyer. He should be yours. He does his job incredibly professionally, and just there's a lot of level of trust and faith in him. Jeff Pollock, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, 416-777-0088. That number again, speaking of numbers, Bob is a number, 416-777-0088. He'll make your life easier.
So Matt, we're in one room right now.
Yeah.
Your condo has one, like your first floor is pretty much an open concept.
Yeah.
So the kitchen, there's a little island, and then there's a living room and a table where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
So open concept, right?
Yeah.
There are 23 pieces of Halloween,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call it, dressings.
Decorations.
That's the word. Thanks.
Yeah.
Probably should have figured that one out. It's not that hard.
No.
23.
Yes.
So how much more can it go? I think last year they got up to, your girlfriend and her sister got up to 66, I think was the number.
Something around there. They only had half a day and then they're flying right now. But, you know, and like there might be more stuff at Amy's sister's place, which means there's just going to be more stuff here. You might have noticed there's two giant boxes still filled with stuff. I do not do any of the decorations. I will I will help organize in the storage locker. But when it comes to this, I just get out of the way.
I thought of you the other day because I noticed some Christmas stuff starting to go up.
Yeah, well, that's...
Not in my place. I mean, out in the public.
Out in the public. Not till December 1st, Bob.
Right.
Not till December 1st.
Well, good luck with your Halloween. Yeah. It's a great pumpkin Charlie Brown thing you got going here.
All right. Time to talk politics.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. Look, Bob, you're wearing all black.
What can we do?
The NDP...
What, you mean because I'm in mourning for our democratic institutions?
I think it'll be fine.
Based on what? Don't get me started, Matt. Do not get me started.
Everything's running around, you know, pretty smoothly, you know, aside from it's kind of rainy. The NDP, they came to my my representatives, or a couple representatives from the NDP, they came to my door the other day. They knocked, and they asked me, what are you, you know, what concerns you the most?
And clearly nothing.
I was so tempted to give this as an answer. Well, I don't really care very much for the environment. I think really what I'm looking for in a politician is someone's going to make sure the economy is humming and make sure that large corporations get tax cuts because they need that money to help create jobs, because really everything starts from giant corporations.
Mm-hmm. To the NDP guy.
To the NDP right. guy. In the end, I didn't. I gave, you know, my real answer, which of course is, you know, issues with the climate and just issues with making sure that more people than not have jobs. But I wanted to give that answer first, but they were so nice and hardworking and earnest. I'm like, I'm not even going to be a jackass and give that answer just to see what their facial reaction would have been.
I am now, I think, somewhat addicted to constant political analysis.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I've got my earbuds in and I am listening to pod after pod after pod.
That's a mistake.
You know, I don't think so. Because we'll get back to the Leafs in a second.
Yeah.
I am actually now on like this emotional roller coaster constantly as I watch democracy wither all around us. And I actually found it got in the way of me enjoying the game last night.
Really?
Well, because Matt, on opposite channel was CNN, and they were discussing Trump's insane explosion and the fact that Mike Pence was dispatched to Ukraine to like follow up on Trump's orders. And, you know, like the entire Western civilization is on the verge of imploding. It was really hard to see how Cody Ceci was doing in his first game. He did bad early on. He was the only guy yesterday who did worse than Trump.
Yeah, early on. Ceci, you know, he leveled off.
He's going to have a tough year.
Yeah, he is going to have a tough year.
Yeah.
I think
Rasmus Sandin, though,
Less than 10 minutes, but looked good. Got a secondary assist and hit some nice moments.
Now I think I'm going to have to start PVRing games and watching them in the middle of the night when CNN goes to reruns, because I can't get away from the TV now. I just can't.
Yeah, see, I don't know how, like, and I think part of it is also just, you know, I think part of it's just age, and that you're a dad and that you're watching your daughter develop. And I think that, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that certainly has an impact of just how much and how you are consuming politics.
No, but I was always into it and you never were.
No, it's true. Well, I was into it far less. And I just think that...
Never were, I mean, to the extent where you would be like defined by your...
Yeah. I mean, I, ages ago, muted on my social media feeds, ages ago, Trump, Donald Trump, and then a lot of different things around him. Then with the election coming, I've muted Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, Scheer, Andrew Scheer, Jasmine Singh, Bernie.
Call him Jasmine Singh.
Did
you call him Jasmine?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. That's a funny one. I didn't see that one coming.
1 minute in, I mispronounced podcast. You really think that's the last word?
That's a good point. No, I didn't.
I've gotten rid of all of it, and all I'm going to do is a week or so before the election, I'm going to try to find as many nonpartisan sites, and all I want is voting records and to take a look at whatever I can find of pure policy, and then I'll base my decision on that.
Okay. Now, I did watch yesterday's Leafs game, so we can't get back to that.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about the captaincy.
Sure.
I don't know if it's come up on the station at all.
A couple times.
Yeah.
Less from me.
Yeah. I don't find it like a super interesting topic, but I find it kind of interesting. Not so much in who they chose or why they chose or whatever. I think that the one thing that really jumped out at me was, I can't prove this, but I bet Mike Babcock wanted John Tavares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know why? Because if you remember back to when they first started training camp, he was talking about Kawhi.
Yeah.
And Kawhi's demeanor and how he was a quiet guy, no drama, led by example, and was absolutely committed to winning.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that defines John Tavares. And that's not a knock against anybody else.
No.
But it, just in terms of the disposition, like I would have preferred Morgan Riley. Because I think Morgan Riley, of all the Leafs right now, is the one who's best able to communicate between the team and the public. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to be a captain of the Leafs, part of your job, a big part, is how do you communicate the message to the people?
Yeah.
It's what Dion Phaneuf failed at the most after hockey. And
wow. That's a shiv there.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah. But clearly the values weren't necessarily about who'd be the best spokesman, because it's possible Tavares might be the worst in terms of getting a good, fun, interesting message out there.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, and I'll just peel back the curtain. At work, it's called Burly. This is more for the listeners than for you. A system called Burly, which is where all our audio clips are. And the different producers and the interns, they cut them all up, and there they are, and there'll be seven clips of Tavares. I will listen to the first one, and then I may listen to the first 3 seconds of all the other clips. I'm like, nope, nothing interesting, nothing interesting. Get out of here. Where's Julian Edelman talking about seeing Bill Belichick's penis? That's the sound clip I want. So,
and they probably like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like the after game two in Milwaukee during the conference final with the Raptors. Yeah. I can't remember who the reporter was, but someone said to Kawhi after they lost that second game, they were down 2-0. Mm-hmm. So what do you do now?
Yeah.
And Kawhi's answer was?
Go home.
Go home.
Yeah. That was it.
That was it.
That was it.
It was kind of perfect when I thought he was staying here. And then now I just think it's stupid that he's left. But
that's a topic for another day. But yes, Tavares, not exactly the most dynamic, but he's the adult in the room. He's 29. He's married. He screams stability. It makes sense. Austin Matthews, if you want to get more ice time, lie to Babcock and say you're getting married and that you can't wait to start a family.
It's like Matt Damon talking to Alec Baldwin in The Departed. Mm. And Alec Baldwin's like, you married? Good. People like that. Makes you look stable.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
When they're out there golfing and he's trying to groom him to become like the next big cop.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly. So my thing with the whole captaincy is we have a tendency to either dismiss it or on slow news days, talk about it too much.
Yeah, overvalue for
but
sure.
But I always just go with this. The players do care. Like, you know, before he was named, Matthews and Riley did say it would be an honor. You know, like it was a big deal.
Oh, I think they care.
Yeah, and because they care, then I think we as the hockey-consuming public, we should not dismiss it.
All right, so if publicly Austin Matthews says that he cares about becoming captain and he would like it,
yeah,
and this is supposed to be his team, and he said he would like the job, and he doesn't get it, then it feels like a shot. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a shot. And the idea that it would be a shot and you give it to John Tavares, who's been a captain and had 40 goals last year and is a Canadian Olympian, he's an amazing player.
Yeah.
It's not like they gave it to Nick Shore.
Yeah. Poor Nick Shore. Got a lot.
Well, we like Nick Shore.
I know. Got a lot of heat yesterday. He's like, hey, I didn't do anything.
What did I do? And then that scrub on Ottawa scores, and everyone's like, isn't this a great story? Well, yeah. I mean, wasn't Shore in the KHL just recently?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story, too, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Poor guy's just like all the beats.
It's like, wait a minute. Now Toronto loves Jason Spezza? Where have I been? In Russia? Oh, wait, I have been in Russia. Everyone in Trump's like, oh, we feel so bad for you, Spezza. We love you.
That's funny. Anyway, point being, it seems to speak to the values of the administration that Tavares would be the guy, because they want stable and they want quiet. Like, Brendan Shanahan is the, in fact, here's my new name for Shanahan, the lid, because he is a ball just about putting a lid on it.
Yeah.
Just put a lid on it.
Yeah. He rarely talks.
Never talks.
Yeah.
Think about all the things that happen. Like, there was the perception that the GM and the coach hated each other. Did we hear from the president?
Nope.
The
face of the team has been charged with disorderly conduct. I didn't hear much from Shanahan.
You never hear anything.
I heard a lot from Dubas.
I think the Shanahan plan is basically to hide behind the couch until they win a cup.
And then, oh, it's so smart to come out. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Remember the guy who put it all together? That was me.
Yeah, I'm the Shanahan plan.
Yeah, exactly.
So
poor Tim Leiwicki. Tim Leiwicki's like, hey, actually, I hired Shanahan. So.
I know. And Masai.
And Masai. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, Leiwicki. Love you.
You know what? He was arrogant and he was American. Yeah. And nobody was ready for that in this market. But he did a hell of a job. And he turned TFC around. He brought in Bezbachenko, who was the beginning of the remodeling of the whole TFC franchise.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's amazing to me, sporty sidebar here.
Yep.
How over the last 2 or 3 years, MLSC became a selling point in the world of sports. Because growing up in this market, when they were owned by the pension plan and the Leafs were, I mean, the whole idea that you'd belong to a Toronto, like think about the Raptors when they were playing the freaking Dome. And there was a tarp.
And you were booing Damon Stoudemire.
I wanted Ed O'Bannon.
You wanted Ed O'Bannon.
And his voodoo zombie leg,
reconstructed
knee with the cadaver of a tendon of cadaver.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being, for years, we were conditioned to see our sports leaders as total effing jokes.
Yes.
Yeah. Messed up or greedy or, you know, I mean,
clueless.
You know, under Labatt's, like the Jays had a great run, but shortly thereafter, they fell apart and they became the team that was too cheap to be anything more than third.
Yep. Well, to be fair, Bob, I mean, it's hard to compete against the big giant cities like Tampa and Oakland.
It's an excellent point.
And Milwaukee and Minnesota.
Well, and it's not like we have a population as big as Boston's. Or that we're the only team in an entire nation and the TV.
That's not like Rogers. That family's worth any money. I mean, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Oakland, and Tampa.
You know what? Our day will come.
Uh-huh.
I love all the articles about Vlade Guerrero's weight, though.
Yeah.
I feel like I've talked about his weight more than my own.
Hey, well, you know, it's good on Atkins and Shapiro. They're the ones who brought in Vlet. Oh, wait, no, they didn't.
Isn't Atkins a kind of a diet plan? Isn't there such a thing as the Atkins diet plan? So that's what they got to do. They got to put him on the Ross Atkins plan.
Yeah, well, the Ross Atkins plan. What's that? Sign 8 pitchers that may be your number 5 guy and nothing else beyond that?
8 shots at a 5th starter?
Ugh. God. Anyway, sorry.
So anyway, the point being, with the exception of the Jays, like MLSE is a really well-run organization these days. And it's a selling point in the sports world. It's like you get to, like Serge Ibaka was talking about this, how when he came from, you know, where did he get? It was
Orlando?
It was Orlando. Thank you. Right. That he didn't really know much about the organization and he got here and it was really well-run.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest reason they won last year is because they knew how to behave on and off the court.
Yep.
You know, so I guess my point is if you're MLSE and you're looking at your captaincy, you don't want any bumps.
No. And Tavares provides no bumps.
No, like it's he is smooth air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Turbulence-free flight.
Yeah. And I don't look at it. They gave it to him and that's a shot at Matthews. If they give it to Marner, then maybe we could.
That's so funny. Can you imagine? And it was part of his deal.
Yeah. And then Paul Marner comes out. Goes, yeah, everybody.
And he's given like the I got the belt sign.
Yeah. Oh God, that'd be great.
Oh, this is a funny scenario. I hope you bring that up on the show today.
Yesterday the big joke was more likely to happen. Jason Spezza's name captain or ...
Right.
And I was like, Dolphins, more likely, Dolphins win the Super Bowl or Spezza's name captain.
Right.
And then people first two suggestions that people texted in, Matt gives up wine. I'm like, oh, fat chance on that.
Yeah, I would say better chance that Spezza becomes. You never know, though. You could give up wine.
I could. Probably not today. Have a Burgundy night at the National Club.
Okay, I want to get back to Mike Babcock in a second, and we still got to talk about McCabe and Soup.
And you've got a big, you said you have a big
An enormous announcement.
Yeah.
Well, why don't I do my announcement after we talk about what you ate last night, because you ate a very interesting food.
I did. I had a couple things. I had seaweed salad, but I've had that once or twice before, but jellyfish salad and raw lobster sashimi and rabbit. I had
Raw lobster sashimi isn't that interesting,
but right from the shells.
Oh, really? Like it was a live lobster and they ripped the tail off and basically put it on a piece of rice for you?
It was dead by the time I got there. But
okay. So it wasn't live lobster?
No. But it was recently deceased.
Right. So it was lobster.
Well, the other lobster was still groovy.
You had a piece of lobster. That's your big freaking story?
Yeah. How often do you have it raw?
Not very.
There you go.
How was it?
It was really good.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. And had it with sake. And sake really made it all work.
God, but that sounds so good. My mouth's watering.
Oh, but the big one was jellyfish salad.
Okay, so explain. What does that even look like?
You know what? It's funny. It looks like it's not as gelatinous as you'd think.
It sounds like it would be basically like a Jell-O mold.
Yeah, no. It almost looks like some sort of funky udon noodle.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it like the little tentacle things that you're eating? Or are you eating the big bulby thing
the
at the top?
The big bulby, but it's in this like noodle form. And
it looks like a Jiffy Pop, right?
Yeah.
Like an exploded Jiffy Pop?
Yes, exactly. And it was the weirdest consistency and a really weird chew. Like it feels like a crunch, then it just becomes a chew, and then back to a crunch. It's a weird, I know. I'm like, am I crunching? Am I chewing? I don't know what's going on.
Is it squishy at all?
Yes.
I feel like it would be squishy.
It's squishy, but then right when it gets squishy, then there gets to be a little bit of a crunch. It was really strange, but really good.
Was there a predominant taste? Like, the texture sounds weird, but like, did it taste salty or
salty,
kind of...
A little bit like miso-y, salty.
I kind of imagine blind. It like if you have fish eggs, like can you chomp into roe?
Yeah.
Is it a bit like roe?
It is like
a little bit fishy?
Yeah, but a little more, not as daunting. Like it has some of that, but even someone who doesn't love fish, I think would enjoy this.
Okay,
it's not a crazy barrier to entry.
All right, so this is going to be a bit obscure to people, but yeah. Just think of the person in your life who's like this. Stephanie Appolito, who is the Associate Assistant Program Director at TSN 1050,
yes,
has no culinary adventure whatsoever. Like, she eats chicken fingers and fries pretty much every meal, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you were to say to her...
Oh, no, I've said this to her. I've said this right to her face. I'm like, I have yelled at her about, yes, and I've actually used...
She's the kind of person who would think, like, a pork chop is, like, way too out there.
It's a fancy meal. It's once
right?
a year, you
like
know.
Pork chop? Yeah. What are you, nuts, yeah. right?
Yes.
That doesn't look at all like a burger or chicken fingers. Anyway, my point is, on a scale of 1 to 100, where does this sit on the Steph Appolito scale for people would find it weird to eat?
Okay, so 100 is like incredibly weird and 0 is not. Oh, for her?
Well, like we're measuring it in Appolitos.
Oh, it's still.
So 100 would be insanely weird and 0 would be chicken fingers.
Normal human beings would be around 60. Steph will knock her down to a 97 out of 100.
Right, okay. Yeah. So she would do it if it was that or death.
Yeah, yeah.
Given the choice.
Given the choice. And she'll look around and make sure that death is still, you know, she's like, maybe death? And it's a lateral move. It's, at the very least, it's a lateral move for her.
That's weird. Where did you eat that?
There's this catering company called Enville Catering, and the head of it, this guy Jeffrey, who was on my the wine podcast, I interviewed him yesterday, and we had this huge, weird meal with wine and all that kind of stuff, but a really nice self-made guy who used to work in like hot kitchens in England.
Is he a chef or a wine guy?
Chef. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chef.
So you talk to the chef, but about wine.
Well, he loves wine as well. He's right. The owner, but at his heart, he's a chef.
Right.
And the weird thing is going into his kitchen, they have the giant fridges, which immediately reminds you of The Shining. And
the one Jack Nicholson gets locked in?
And here's the crazy part. This guy, Jeffrey, his head chef, saw The Shining when it came out in the movie theater, while on their final day of after Thanksgiving, working in a giant resort up north that they were going to close the next day. So the night that they were going to close it, they went and watched The Shining. I mean, that's like watching Jaws like, in the cage, you know, when you're hanging out with Richard Dreyfuss.
Or are you watching Friday the 13th at the cottage?
Which happened as a seven-year-old.
How'd that go?
Well, I'm 44 and I still get scared of Jason Voorhees. So you tell me, Bob. You tell me how that's going. I'm 44. I should be more scared about heart disease, you know, or my pension. But no, what's my bigger concern in life? Jason Voorhees.
It does speak to the quality of your life, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
Hey, how you doing?
You got a lot of worries, like machete wielding maniacs.
It's out there. It could happen.
All right, well, since we're talking food and we're going to talk Leafs, we can agree that Ilya Mikheyev had a really excellent start to his Leafs career.
Yeah, go Mikheyev.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't think he did. I've got to say it right. I promised that I would say it right.
I think I said it right, but I'll accept the correction if I didn't.
Yeah, goal, an assist, you know, played well in the penalty kill when he was there. That was a really nice debut.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good. Babs obviously already loves him.
Yes.
He needed a new Marlowe.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is going to be his Russian
Marlowe.
You're
my Marlowe. And Mikheyev is like, what are you doing, Mike? He's like, shut up. My name's Ilya. Your name's Patrick in here. Why are the lights dim? Shut up.
Is this going to be like a Vertigo with...
Ooh.
Where I don't want to spoiler alert it. And it's a vague film reference.
It will be like it, yes.
Okay, it's so a very for everybody good, who likes it, yes, it's like Vertigo.
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, exactly.
We'll just leave it at that. Let's talk more importantly, rather than old thrillers from Alfred Hitchcock. Let's talk soup.
Yeah.
Because the big word on the street was...
He doesn't understand why we don't enjoy soup more.
And he loves soup, and he misses the soup that his girlfriend would cook him. And as he tries to adjust to North American life, an absence of soup seems to be the biggest sticking point.
You know, I have this image of, like, you know in the movies, and this is about Mikheyev, when, you know, the young new star goes somewhere, becomes a big star, becomes corrupted, and forgets where they came from.
So the natural.
Yeah. Or just like, or every sports movie.
You're right.
And yes, exactly the natural, like when he's with Kim Basinger. So Makeyev right now is coming out and saying that, you know, he loves borscht, that that's his favorite soup. And how would you describe, Bob, as your homeland is much closer to it than my homeland is? How would you describe borscht?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. Well, it's beet soup.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just...
You throw in some onions, some carrot, but basically beet.
Beef.
And then some meat. You can have a vegetarian version.
Yeah. On Christmas, you'd add meat.
Right.
To it,
Christmas Eve, you would have, you know, a veggie one. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah,
it's so
you can put a dollop of sour cream in there. It's really good.
So it's a very salt of the earth, root vegetable based, simple, hardworking.
It's heartland
soup. So now Makeyev gets a goal, and let's say he does better, and he starts to become a star, and then you smash cut, and he's sitting there with a bowl of tortilla soup, and you know he's like, ah, no, I don't want any more beet soup, and he's got some sort of fancy bastardized version of soup, and then his girlfriend comes in the room and just starts screaming, who are you? I don't even know who you are.
I'll
anymore.
Take it one step further. He's out with you eating jellyfish salad.
Yeah, exactly.
And raw lobster.
Yeah.
By the way, what was the other thing? Oh, rabbit. Whatever. Rabbit's not that.
No. But like, oh, it's not well.
Was it
so juicy? So juicy. If rabbit was,
is it a bit like lamb? Rabbit?
No. Done right, it's really different. It's like a spicy, way more interesting version of chicken. It's you know, and that might be doing it a disservice. If rabbit wasn't cute, we'd eat way more of it.
All right. So quickly, I've done this before, but just to remind people, my top five soups.
Go.
Chicken rice, number five.
Yep.
And this is one of the secrets about chicken rice, is that noodles are overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Rice kicks ass.
Yes.
Clam chowder, but it's got to be the cream-based one, not the tomato-based one.
Yeah, so Boston, not New York.
Right, exactly. Yeah. French onion soup, because anything that has its own special bowl.
Yeah.
And the whole point is to deliver cheese on bread in a soup form.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Number two is borscht, particularly with the sour cream, because you can really load up those animal fats. And number one is my mother-in-law's lentil soup, which is God's perfect food. It's good for you.
Yep.
It's delicious. And for some reason, like, it's the healthiest food ever, and it doesn't make you angry.
That is a perfect, like, if your mother, like, if you ever marketed that soup, that is the tagline. It's the healthiest food that won't make you angry to eat.
Yep.
It's so true. It's so true. You're sitting there like, stupid chickpeas, you know.
I've lost 35 pounds.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you. And
that's awesome.
And I've done it by eating zero interesting meals since July the 1st. You know what I often have for a snack?
Mm.
Salad.
That's the snack?
That's the snack.
Mm.
Now, salad's not bad.
No.
Right? Salad's fine.
Salad's fine. It has a place.
It's kind of nice, right?
Yeah.
Like you just put a little oil, a little vinegar, a little salt. Boom. Salad.
Salad.
You know what it isn't?
Mm.
Snack.
No, it's not a snack.
Like when you're watching the game and you go up to the kitchen and you open up the cupboard, you don't want to bring out oregano flakes to put on the salad.
No.
You want to bring out something where you have to use your teeth to rip open the bag.
So it's October. Oh, and you see, you're entering the hard time now because you got Halloween coming. You got Thanksgiving. You got Christmas. You got Christmas. Like, we are entering, you know, the very dangerous time.
The other thing is for all of us dieters out there, it's winter.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter is,
animals want to get fat in winter. Like, that's the whole point. Like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
It's our gig.
Oh, yeah.
Is to put on, you know, the freshman 15.
Yep.
My sister, when she went to McGill, which is in Montreal, told me the whole point is to find a boyfriend by November to get you through to March because you're not going out anywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
And you got to make sure that both of you aren't so judgy of the other one because
I said boyfriend, not dates, right?
Like, yeah. Everything gets a little rounder.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, or you can just think of it as more fun.
Yeah.
We all get a little more fun.
We all get a little more fun. Hey, what was it? Built for comfort, not for speed.
Not for speed.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, do I ever get that. You know, I was thinking about the blue wave yesterday because this was a nickname you came up with last year for the Leafs offense.
Yeah.
We needed something that could describe their quick strike ability. And I thought last night of that because when I was watching after the goal got canceled on a accurate but pretty borderline call.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that next.
But the ability to spin right around and score. But it wasn't just that they scored. It was they scored with an extraordinary burst of skill and speed.
Yeah.
It was almost like it wasn't just a goal. It was a statement.
Yes, that's the exact word.
Like, we are now going to rip the air from your lungs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It is over for you, Ottawa.
Yep. That's a perfect way of putting it. It's like, you can't stop this. You know, you can stop fluky goals. You can stop the other team that's the try-harders, hope for that one good shot. You can't stop that that level of talent.
Do you remember when McGregor fought Mayweather?
Yes.
And for the first couple rounds, people were like, actually, McGregor looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Mayweather was just like, okay.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of reminded me of was,
yeah,
we're going to pretend to fight. Mm-hmm. Until I dummy you.
Well, just
that, starting now.
Yeah, that goal, if we're going to keep on different analogies, that goal was they were hulking out. You know,
right.
You can punch him in the face as much as you want. He's just going to shake his head more vigorously.
That goal was the finger wave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The no, no, no.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Ron Hainsey.
Okay.
So I am a hypocrite. Because I'm very happy that goal wasn't called. I mean, I think the Leafs still would have won, but that was the definitive turning point. Okay. Game turned there.
Wait, so let me make sure I understand what you mean. You wanted Hainsey to score or you didn't want him to?
No, obviously I didn't want him to score there. And I was happy that they called it back because of offside. But it still felt ticky-tacky. Like, it was offside, but I hate those calls. And maybe because last year it seemed the Leafs had a lot of those calls go against them. So it's a hypocritical of me to take joy in it because it helped my team. But the spirit of it, I hate. Like, unless it's really clear, just let them play. It's hard enough to score goals in hockey anyway.
I felt weird because I agree with you philosophically. And I thought, well, this benefits my team.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because my team's on the verge of, you know, pooping the bed at home on the home opener. And that's going to be no fun for anybody. So
yeah.
I'll take it. But then I thought, you know, hypocrite.
Yeah.
Total hypocrite. I you know what? Yeah. That's the thing is I came up with a line.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between ideas and principles. Principles are what you do.
Yeah.
And ideas are what you think other people should do.
Yeah.
And what we had was an illustration of what our ideas versus our principles actually are.
Yeah. Because I'm glad it helped the team, but I don't want to see it. I just want to see everyone go, nope, it's too close. Forget it. Moving on. Let's reward offense. Let's reward goals being scored. So I was absolutely torn on that.
I want to talk to you about something really, really important. So we can either do big news or I can do a shout out to you. Which one do you want to do first?
Usually you think I'd say shout out to me, but we're going to do big news. What's your big news?
All right, Matt. You over the years, and by this I mean like the last 20, 25 mm-hmm. that we've known each other, take great delight in all of my plans that I never see through.
Yeah.
Whether it's I'm going to follow the CFL this year or I'm going to get into fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn to drive.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes
to... You missed my favorite one.
Which one?
I'm going to learn how to hunt.
Oh, right.
There was a period you said you were going to hunt.
I got a new one, actually. I'm going to learn to knit.
You're going to learn knit? I could see you knitting.
Yeah.
Because
I thought if I got blue and white yarn
and
I just watched the Leafs and I knitted, I could probably get a really good sweater out of it. Or at least a couple scarves.
Yeah, that one's not as much. But the hunting one, I'm not going to lie. Me and Michael Landsberg may have giggled about that one a couple times.
I'd love to learn to hunt.
We may. Anyway, yeah. So what's
okay. So when it comes to our show,
what
is the thing that I always say I'm going to do and never do?
It's either driver's license. That seems too much. Instagram.
If you check Instagram right now.
Oh.
And you do a search on Macko and Cause podcast.
Oh.
You will find.
Yeah.
I created the account.
Wow. That
Head
is
on
huge.
Over, everybody. There is a Macko and Cause Instagram account now.
Nice.
I'm the manager of it. There's one picture posted.
Yep.
It's me after a workout.
Okay.
And we follow one person, Serge Ibaka.
Okay.
And that's it.
That's it.
And that's it. We're only following Serge Ibaka because I was just in a mood and I was like, I just need someone fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what you should do? You should take
we Matt, what we should do.
We should, but you're the you know what we should do.
Well, I'm the webmaster.
You're the webmaster, keymaster. Gozer, the Gozerian.
Many slores knew what it was to burn in the depths of hell that day. I can tell you,
that was a good pull by you.
Thank you.
That was a really good
Thank
pull.
Thank you. I always thought it was Vince Clortho.
Yeah,
but it's actually Vins with a Z. Did you know that?
I did not.
I thought it was Vince Clortho.
Oh my!
No, Vins Clortho. Wow.
Were you? Was this a random IMDb moment for you?
No, I went and saw it over the summer. I went and saw it, and they played it at the O'Keefe Center, the Hummingbird Center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those things where the live orchestra is playing along.
Oh, yeah.
So they had subtitles for the whole movie.
Yeah.
As it was rolling.
Okay.
And when it came to Vins,
yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
You should take a photo or two of some of the Halloween stuff here for the Instagram page, so people can see just the world that I'm living in right now.
That's a good point, actually. I've been thinking, like, what's our first Instagram photo going to be, you and I? By the way, you know what our subheader is? Mm. Two guys, one dream. So head on over, Macko and Kaz podcast. We're going to have to put that on the on our Twitter feed as
sure.
well.
Yeah, that people yeah, can I'll, link to I'll, it. I'll get that all put up. That's big news.
I want to have more than HNIC. I want to have more followers than Hockey Night in Canada. Can we do that?
No.
Are you sure?
Dream.
What's more likely, Jason Spezza as captain or Bob and Matt get more Instagram followers than Hockey Night in Canada?
How many does Hockey Night in Canada have?
More than one.
Okay. It seems.
I think we have none. I don't even think I follow us. Now that I think about it.
Of course you don't.
I don't even know who the first person's going to be. In fact, let's wait and see. I don't even follow us. It never occurred to me I should.
You're going to need George here. If you want to get more than HNIC, we're going to need celebrity backings.
Yeah, and it's true.
George is the biggest celebrity we know. Do you think Merrick would take the cause?
He's not very supportive of what I do, yeah. So it's hard to say.
Also, I think people.
Also, there's a there's a competition.
I think his bosses also might be upset if Merrick is trying to get our account
bigger than his,
bigger than Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah.
I feel there's some jellyfish tentacles all over the place there that wouldn't work. That's huge.
So this is exciting, right?
Yeah, it is.
Very pleased.
Yeah, as you should be. Nice.
Yeah.
Big days.
I got a couple of sports questions. One's philosophical and the other one's with a new bit that I want to start doing.
Okay.
Do you want to do the philosophical one or do you want to do the bit?
So philosophical.
Okay. What do you think MLSE has learned or how they've changed since the Raptors won the championship? Like watching the game last night, it felt very much like business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder to what extent the way that they perceive that product, that hockey product, has that been altered in any way by the experience of having been in the middle of the Raptors explosion?
There's only one thing I can think of.
What's that?
And it's that they didn't give two Fs about the money they spent on Matthews and Marner.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now Marner was the one that signed after the Raptors won it.
So go get the stars.
Just go for it. Don't worry about it. Take a chance. Because, you know, I was comparing Kyle Dubas to Brewster's Millions,
mm-hmm.
where he's just spending all the money and he doesn't care. And then you look at what Rantanen got, or Braden Point, or Tkachuk, or Sebastian Aho, blah, 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 blah. All of them are making far less, whether it's the guys on the three-year deals, Line A on the two-year, or the six-year. The Leafs are spending so much more money to the point, how can you not go and think, what the hell's going on? So maybe that's it, which is like, nope. Caution to the wind. We're going to build it our own way. It's going to be different. But screw it. We got a chance to win this year.
You know, going back to the earlier experience of what we talked about with Kawhi and how Babcock was so impressed with him as a leader,
mm-hmm.
I bet you Kawhi's presence and the sort of stability of it, like, I sounds like behind the scenes it wasn't that stable because he was trying to figure his way out of town, him and Uncle Dennis. And I'm sure they knew all about that. And I'm sure it was a shit show that we'll never find out about because of tampering rules that the Clippers were clearly, ignoring, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
There was probably tons of stuff behind the scenes. But just as the temperament of an individual athlete, I wonder what kind of impression that made on the bosses to look at this guy who was quiet, did his job, total hard worker, no drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Leafs have had, some drama.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went through the Kadri bullshit, and there was a lot of stuff with Kessel and all those guys. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
before that, the Muskoka Five.
Right. I'm sure they're looking at Matthews and Marner and saying, well, these guys, like, they may not be, out there doing the same kinds of things some of these other guys were doing. Or they may be, I don't know.
Yeah.
But just the money and everything, names are in the paper, and there seems to be all this sort of chaos around them. Those guys seem to breed chaos as much as anything else. And then you just look at Tavares and say, like, that guy literally just shows up.
Yeah.
You know, like, crazy for him is he didn't shave on his way to the rink.
That's true.
I think that probably was an illustration of where they'd like to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They would. If everyone did their channel their inner John Tavares, if the Leafs will be in a better place.
You know, the truth is, I was thinking about this in my own life. I'm a Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like the routine. You know, I find like if I have routine that I can really focus on what I'm trying to do and make it good.
Oh, yeah.
Some people need chaos, like my buddy Georgie. He needs chaos.
Yeah.
Like he flew to New York for a couple days because he had a couple days in between other things he booked. Do you know why? Because you can't sit alone. You can't sit at home. You just can't do it.
Wow.
You just can't do it.
And I'm more like you. I like routine.
Yeah. You and I are very similar that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was often commented upon when we worked together how you and I had very similar work ethics. Mm-hmm. Show up early.
Yeah.
Work right up to like 8:59
yep.
at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. All focused on the show.
Yeah.
At 12:01, start working on the next day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like my biggest one is during commercial breaks. I hate just sitting there fucking around on Twitter. Like in the show. So I start prepping for like the next day.
I used to love it. I would look over.
Yeah.
And of course, I was yelling at the producers about what cut of music to use. Make sure they lined up the cue of clips correctly.
Yeah.
And I would look over and you would be typing away on the next day. But I loved it though, right?
Yeah.
Because you were always so super prepared. God, you were money in the bank. Such an easy guy to work with.
Yeah.
So talented. Yeah. And then... like zero drama to boot. You never get that.
Though, to be fair, some days when I was really prepping for the next day, it's because there was a boozy night coming.
I was going to say, I used to love it when you tried to still be that guy, but you were wicked hungover and maybe even still tipsy, right?
Yeah. And,
and you're trying so hard to be like Johnny Discipline.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You mastered the don't say anything. Just keep your head down.
Just on the hungover days, just that's the grind. That's the day you're just sitting there just grinding away.
I got a new bit I want to do called Good Take, Bad Take.
All right. Real quick. You know what's a good take?
What?
SeatGiant.ca. They're a Canadian-owned operated company. They guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. And it's in Canadian dollars. No converting over because it's a Canadian company. And when you're there... use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You'll save some money. We get a small kickback. Again, they rock. They're fantastic. No more exchange fees, bank fees, or whatever. SeatGiant.ca. Go, Bob, go.
All right, so the bit's simple. I throw out a take, and you tell me whether or not you think it's a good take or a bad take.
Yep.
And particularly football, because I don't follow it the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching the NFL, and it occurred to me, and I'll read this the way I wrote it down. It's harder in the NFL to find a good coach than it is a good quarterback. Good take or bad take?
Bad take.
Okay. Why?
Because a good quarterback makes a coach look good.
Okay.
So you need to find, and there's not a lot of great quarterbacks.
But that sort of makes my point, doesn't it? That a good quarterback makes the coach look better than he really is.
Mm-hmm. So that means it's harder to find the good quarterback. This is chicken and egg.
No, because that would mean that there are more good quarterbacks and that the actual number of good coaches is smaller because there are quarterbacks propping them up.
I think there are more. I see what you're saying.
I'll tell you why I was starting to think about this, because the Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford have a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
But they have not had a good coach. And this goes back to Jim Schwartz and before, Marty Morinwig.
Yep.
However, like when was the last time you looked? And Matt Patricia now is getting ripped for the way that he's managing that team.
Yeah, okay. Right? I see where you're going here. Yeah. Right?
And I started to think about how there's probably like 7 or 8 guys that you would say, that's a really good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy gives you a real chance to win.
Yep.
Would you say that there are 7, 8 coaches in the NFL where you go, you know what? That guy's game planning makes a difference. And that's a good reason why they're going to win.
Okay. Yeah. I see where you're going. Okay. Good take. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I feel good about that.
We got time for one more. We're 55 minutes in.
Okay. This is crazy, but I'm going to go with it. Florida will have more points than Tampa Bay.
That's a bad take.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because Florida might not be that great. They may not even make the playoffs, but they have a very good coach. They have a very good goalie now, and they've got strength down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tremendous offense, and if they can learn how to play some defense, they could be one of those teams that like shoots up in a real hurry because they wickedly underperformed last year.
Yeah.
But if you look at everything about them, like the ingredients are there. They just don't play smart and consistent.
But now
the defense is an issue, but now they got a coach and they got a goalie. And if you think about teams like St. Louis, was a doormat, and then Binnington goes on a run and they win the cup.
Yep.
Like hockey is goalie. In a lot of cases. The other thing is Tampa Bay, way more talented. But they also had, 128 points last year?
Mm-hmm.
And they went out in the first round?
So they don't care about the regular season.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right? Just get healthy and get to the playoffs.
That
right?
is the only way it works, is if they just don't care at all about the regular season, while Florida really cares about the regular season.
Now, I don't think it's... I don't think it's inconceivable. Mm-hmm. Like I to say it's a good take because I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, kind of soft to say it's possible that
yep.
Florida could do better than Tampa Bay. I think it'll be much closer than people think because I think Florida is about to take a jump up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Tampa Bay, like,
they're going to take the foot off the gas.
They're going to take, you know, is Victor Hedman saying, I got to win that fucking Norris or, yeah. You know, they just want the cup. Everything's about the cup.
We got to go, Bob. It's
right.
Great to be back.
Nice.
I you look good.
Thank you.
I think all the weight loss has meant you though you can't have salty snacks, you say more salty things out of your mouth.
Was I salty today?
A little more swearing than usual.
You too, though.
I swore once.
Yeah, but that's because I was. Yeah. I actually think you were just trying to be with the cool kids.
Hey, I want to smoke too. It looks awesome. Goodbye, Bob.
Goodbye, Matthew.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.